Las Vegas prides itself on being the city of second chances. And right now, that policy applies to Mamma Mia, the ABBA musical. The show ran for 6 years at Mandalay Bay and closed at the end of 2008. And back then, producer Judy Kramer told the Las Vegas Sun the show might reopen at a new venue. Another 6 years later, that is exactly what's happening. Mamma Mia's back at the New Tropicana, and we've got details about the show at knprnews.org. And we have some members of the cast with us right now, beginning with Christine Sherrill, who plays Donna. Christine, welcome to KNPR.
Thank you so much, Dave.
All right. Now, most musicals start with the book, and then later the songs come in to sort of advance the story. But this was completely upside down. The songs were hits in the 70s and 80s. Those of us who grew up in that era still can't get them out of our heads, I suspect. All for the Swedish group ABBA, and then the story in the book later was created so these could all be included. That makes this musical kind of different, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. I'll tell you what, people come for this songbook, which is amazing. And I think that people are really remarking on this production about how the songs so easily fit into the book and the story.
Give us an example, if you would, of how a song is worked into this show.
Oh, well, I'll tell you. Mamma Mia, the title tune, happens just as Donna meets the three dads for the first time coming to the island, the first time that they are revealed and she runs into them.
Now, as you get into this and you meet the three men, there's no way to figure out who is your daughter's father.
And I should, isn't.
I should back up and say you're really at the center of this entire story because mm-hmm. you're a single mother whose daughter is about to marry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this begins. Remind us what happens mm-hmm. from there.
And the audience really enjoys, I think, trying to figure out who the dad is. And it's interesting to talk to audience members afterwards and their thoughts on who might be the dad based on what they look like. They try to put the timeline together. So it really is sort of a mystery, the whole show, that everyone is trying to figure out which one of these potential dads is really it.
Okay, so and Sophie, your daughter, has invited her possible fathers, all of them, to come to the island for the wedding.
Yes, she wants to know who her father is, and she wants her father to give her away at her wedding. They are all under the belief that it was actually Donna who sent the invitation.
And so all the action revolves around finding out who the real father is.
Yes.
And potential fathers keep deciding they should do something for Sophie. Donna keeps wanting to push them away. Why so?
You know, she established this life as a single mom, and she's done really well. In the 11th hour ballad, or one of them, there's several 11th hour ballads in the show, she sings The Winner Takes It All, which to me, out of the entire songbook, this is Donna's story, and this is the one that really brings it all together.
I don't want to talk about the things we've gone through, though it's hurting me, now it's history. And I've played all my cards, and that's what you've done too. Nothing more to say, no more ace to play. The winner takes it all, the loser has to fall beside the victory. That's our destiny. I was in your
that song, it's a wonderful song, but it's very different from most of the hits that ABBA had.
You know,
it's a lot sadder. It's not, you know, really perky and danceable and upbeat.
I would
it's
agree.
A very different
it
song.
Also feels very reminiscent of a musical theater tune, more so than any of them. I mean, they're all, you can find the similarities in all of them, of course, but Winner Takes It All really feels like almost a standard musical theater ballad.
So we're talking about Mamma Mia, which is coming back to the New Tropicana. We've got details about the show at knprnews.org. And we're talking with Christine Sherrill, who plays Donna, around whom the story revolves. One of the potential fathers is a character named Bill Austin. He's an Australian adventurer who had met Donna 20 years earlier, is still not ready to settle down, And he's played in this production by Steve Judkin. Steve, welcome to KNPR.
Hi, great to be here.
Bill Austin is a little bit of Crocodile Dundee and a little bit of Steve Irwin. I mean, is that the
not the dead Steve Irwin, but the living.
The living Steve Irwin.
yeah, it is a bit of a mixture of that cliched Australian outback bloke, if you like to put it that way. And for the American and English audiences, it's definitely played more strongly that way than it would be in Australia, because in Australia, everybody plays the role. Their roles as Australians. I do draw on the old Crocodile Dundee and a bit of Steve Irwin, I guess, as well, and many people that I grew up with who were from the country and, you know,
Well, I've got to say, geez, Steve, you do that Australian accent pretty well.
Where'd you learn that? I'm actually from Southern Carolina. No, not really. it's one of those things, too, where I had to be careful to make sure the accent is readable by the audience, because you can tend to go a little bit too far with putting on an accent that it becomes too hard to understand. And we have a tendency to talk rather quickly in Australia. So if I do that, just put your hand up and tell me to slow down. I think they said they had an Australian translator.
We do. Yes, we have somebody on staff. Email Chris. You can
so whatever I say, we translate it back. But so the accent, and obviously for me to be able to use my natural accent in a musical is very rare. 20 years in the business, I think it's the second time or third time I've ever been able to use my natural accent.
Now, also with us is Jordan Bondurant, who plays Sky, Sophie's boyfriend. Jordan, welcome back to KNPR.
Good to be back here again.
Your character only finds out about Sophie's plan to invite all the fathers to the island after they've arrived and right before the wedding. Your character seems pretty relaxed for a guy who might end up with three fathers-in-law.
Right. Well, you know, throughout the show, he's constantly telling her, you know, you don't have to worry about the dad. You know, I'm here, which is actually kind of a tough thing to talk about in the show, because a lot of the women in the audience go, what? Hmm. I have a line that I say, you don't need your dad, I'm here. And it can come off so swarmy. she tells him, she is very timely. She tells him the news an hour before the wedding. So he reacts in the negative. But then everything ends up happily ever after, as it tends to do in musical theater.
We're talking with cast members from the new production of Mamma Mia, which opened a couple of weeks ago at the new Tropicana. Christine Sherrill plays Donna, the mother who lives on a Greek island. Her daughter, Sophie, is about to get married. Steve Judkins plays Bill Austin, one of three men who might be Sophie's father. They've all been invited back for the wedding. And Jordan Bondurant plays Sky, Sophie's boyfriend. Okay, so a lot of the songs are really, really well known. Spoiler alert, you encourage the audience to join in one or two of them right close to the end. Christina Sherrill, do you ever find audience members singing along or humming along?
Ever? every night. In fact, I'm just thinking about last night. We had some people in the VIP section. You know, they purposely sit there so that they can participate in the show. Everyone, I can say, by the end of the show is up on their feet. Whether they've seen the show before, you know, we met a woman the other night. It was her 49th time seeing Mamma Mia. I mean, even last night, a couple of women were singing through Winner Takes It All with me.
something like Waterloo or Mamma Mia, I could see, but Winner Takes It All.
Well, they're in
doesn't
love with
seem
the songbook.
Like I guess they are.
Yes, they are.
What is it about this songbook? I mean, is it just that Benny and Bjorn were just so good at writing hooks?
You know, I would like to say that it was a generational thing, and that this songbook reminds most of the audience members of a time in their life. But I have to say, I have learned that I don't really think that that's what it is. We have young children. Our sound guy, Tim, was telling me that his 6-year-old son can't get enough of the songbook.
Steve Judkins, to you, what makes these songs so infectious and so memorable?
What Christine was saying is completely true. I worked as a session singer in London for a company called Zomba Music. So my job was to go in and sample sing songs that were being written by the potential producers of these hits to sample them for the artist. And there is a formula to songwriting, and there are certain keys and certain arrangements that really work and really, really play on the ear and stay in your head. And ABBA just mastered, as you were saying earlier, they really mastered how to do that. They're magnificent songwriters. One thing I didn't know about the ABBA music was how layered it is with harmony. You don't even hear it when you're listening first time. And even after hearing these songs 10 or 20 times, you might not know how much is actually going on in these arrangements. They're so cleverly put together. To be honest, I wasn't a massive fan of the music. I come from a rock and roll background, and my wife had done the show before, and I said, oh, how do you put up with, you know, the music constantly? Does it get into your head? And she said, it does, but in the best way possible. And I said, oh, that remains to be seen. And within 3 weeks, I was in rehearsal, and I turned to my wife's also in the show. I turned to her and said, you are completely right. I can't stop singing these songs, and I'm loving the songs. So they are infectious. They are just very well-written, well-crafted pieces of music.
So when you're on stage, when you are Bill Austin on stage, and songs are going on, and you look out and you see audience singing along, does that get disconcerting? I mean, is it tough to stay in character
when
this is happening?
Luckily for me, my character doesn't do a lot of singing in the show. I do feel for those characters who are singing massive ballads and are really emotionally connected to the song, and you can hear someone in the front row belting along with them, especially when they're out of tune. Doesn't really help when they're singing off key. It must be a challenge for those who are having to sing against that. But no, I don't find it. I think it would be different in a show like Les Mis or Phantom, or one of the shows where the story is historical or something like that. It could throw the show out a bit. Because this is a jukebox musical, I feel like that's fantastic that they feel they can do that. You know, if they could stay off their phones and their iPads during the show, that would be nice. you get that occasionally. People in this generation think it's okay.
That is a contemporary hazard.
Oh my gosh! This kid on his iPad the other day, and I was like, Mum, maybe he can last 2 hours without the iPad. But you know, so yeah, it's one of those things where it's encouraging, especially as you say toward the end of the show. There's a mix of some great songs, and you see the people singing along, and It you just feel like people are getting a really good bang for their buck.
Jordan Bondurant, I mean, this probably didn't happen much to you at Nevada Conservatory Theater. You know, you've got people who want to sing along if there's a song to be performed.
Not as often. We were doing a production of Romeo and Juliet, and there was a little girl. She was maybe 3 or 4, and it was in the final scene, and it was very intense. And she decided to start singing Happy Birthday. So that was... It was slightly different, but no, I was used to it. Yeah, so
you got through that scene.
They prepped me for the professional world. Testament to UNLV's theater program.
Did they warn you coming into this? It's like Jordan, you need to know people are going to be singing along.
No, well, I guess I saw it in New York, and so I could kind of already get the sense. Okay, that's how it goes. I love it. I think it's great.
Christine, Cheryl, some of these songs I think would, as you said. Some of them have got the feel of stagecraft from the very beginning, and a lot of them would work anywhere in a musical about thwarted love. But case in point, big ensemble around Take a Chance on Me. Talk about what happens with that number.
Take a Chance on Me. This would be a great question for Steve. It's actually Steve's scene with Rosie, who is one of my best friends, and discovers her interest.
If you change your mind, take a chance, I'm the best thing.
And it's just before the wedding. She sees him in the chapel and encourages him in the... most fundamental of ways to take a chance on her.
Let me say that I'm not fully clothed by the end of the number.
The song, the original recording of it, is, like most ABBA music, is very tightly arranged.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it, you know, it starts out with some of the a cappella stuff, kind of bouncing back and forth between the men and the women in the group. How does that translate to a stage performance?
Well,
like
fortunately in this production, which I haven't seen very many times, honestly, in 20 years of doing musical theatre, where there are 5 booths set up backstage with all live vocals. So the ensemble, when they're not on stage, are working backstage doing backing vocals for the whole show live. And this doesn't happen much anymore in theatre. A lot of the shows I've done, especially the jukebox musicals, which I've done about 4 of, are pretty much pre-recorded. And you sing live, but the band is sometimes pre-recorded or part of it. This is all live vocals. So you walk backstage during scenes, and there's 5 vocal booths with maybe 5 or 6 people in each booth watching a monitor with a conductor on it, and they're providing that amazing live backup vocal sounds.
So how are the arrangements different compared to the original recording?
I don't think they really are. I think that the character singing the lead role brings their slant to it as far as what the character would be invested in, as far as, you know, the tone of the piece. But generally speaking, you are getting what what you heard on the radio with a different lead vocal. When we started the production, we actually sat down in rehearsals and they played us the ABBA songs, the originals. Before we even started singing in rehearsal, we actually sat down and listened to them. And the musical director said, this is what we're recreating here. We're not going to go and give the audience our own version of what we think ABBA should sound like. If it ain't broke, don't fix it type attitude. And I think that's what, you know, audiences come in and they go, wow, we just basically went to something better than an ABBA concert because we got a story, we got comedy, and we got the songs as we expected to hear them. I've been to shows before where they've tried to be too clever and, you know, you go and see it and you go, that wasn't the band that I thought or the music I thought I was coming to hear. They've tried to put a whole different slant on it, and that's not what Mamma Mia is about.
Steve Judkins plays Bill Austin and Jordan Bondurant plays Sky. Christine Sherrill is Donna in the new production of Mamma Mia, which is now playing with the new cast at the New Tropicana. We've got details of the show at knprnews.org.